when Philando Castile was shot in a car, which is what they actually represent. Where were they? So if you are not coming to the people's defense, then don't challenge us when young people and other people who are frustrated and instigated by the people you pay, you are paying instigators to be among our people out there throwing rocks, breaking windows, and burning down buildings. And so young people are responding to that. They are enraged, and there's an easy way to stop it. Arrest the cops. Charge the cops. Charge all the cops. Not just some of them. Not just here in Minneapolis. Charge them in every city across America.
All right, y'all. You just heard an excerpt from activist Tamika Mallory, who is clearly a part of on the ground protesting all the police brutality, murders, injustice. And I'm here today with a couple of my guests to discuss what all is going on, what's on our minds, what's in our hearts. Thank you all for tuning in. You've just joined the Flow Experience. My name is Flo. Of course, you guys know who I am. And I always like to start off with thanking you all for taking the time out of your day to spend a few moments with me to express myself, to have guests on the show, to be a platform and a voice for those who don't or may not have a voice. And so without further ado, I got two of the coolest brides on earth that run their own podcast called The Cunt Code, who I totally admire and I totally respect and I'm totally think it's so dope. My homegirl Lee and my homegirl Free Spirit. So if y'all want to take a few moments to introduce yourselves, go right ahead.
Okay, Lee, you can go first.
She just voluntold me to go first.
Yeah, you've been voluntold, honey.
This is Lee from The Cut Code. Just want to thank you both so much for firstly having this conversation and having this on board to discuss it with you. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
And I'm Free. I'm the other half of The Cut Code podcast that stands for Controversial Uncensored Narratives and Truth.
And so appropriate right now.
We're happy to be here. So thank you for inviting us. And unfortunately, I wish we were talking about something more, I guess, less heavy. But hey, we gotta get into it.
Well, before we get into it, though, Flo, I just wanna apologize to your readers because my eyebrows are jacked up today. Okay.
Listen, you know, we got right now we on the front lines from our homes, from our social media platforms. Some of us are out there on the streets, you know, so we're not worried about eyebrows or none of that. We're worried about, you know, our feelings and each other. And you're beautiful, especially among all the chaos. You know, we represent the beauty that is sometimes lost. So,
and I got my sage and my old school music.
Ooh, I should have had my sage over here too. It's in my bathroom.
Because I understand I ain't at home. We ain't on the cunt code. So yeah. I'm trying to keep my.
No. Please, no. I honestly. You, mi casa, su casa, you are welcome to be your full self. Flow Experience is uncensored. It's honest. It's real. It's raw. It's not scripted. I don't know how to be scripted. I think I sound weird when I'm scripted. So please, by all means, be yourself.
Well, you asked for it.
I love it.
You gonna get it.
That's all right. I'm ready for it. So, like I said, we just listened to an excerpt and I'm shaking. That's how I'm feeling right now. An excerpt from Tamika Mallory. She is an activist who is on the ground, who is very boastful, and I totally respect her. She is unapologetic. She is trying to organize and protest. Y'all, we are at a very pinnacle moment in our history. Although this is nothing new under the sun, let's be clear. As it was quoted by Will Smith, and that's been going around too, racism isn't getting worse, it's just being filmed. What's painful about it for me now is my children are now caught up in a society where they get to witness and watch murder on social media of their people of, you know, their likeness. They're seeing themselves. My son, 12 years old, and I'm trying my best to keep them off of some of these platforms. You know, I have a 12-year-old, so that's hard. I have an 11-year-old, that's hard. They're very artsy, you know, and so a lot of their access to their creativity is sometimes comes from social media platforms and being able to have access to their devices. But he is so restless. Like, he's up every morning at 5 o'clock, you know, just can't sleep. He's nervous. He's afraid. You know, we had a heart-to-heart conversation. I just happened to get up in the middle of the night, and he's in his room crying. He was like, he just doesn't understand why people hate us, you know, why they don't want us to be alive. And this was in the midst of all the protesting, and, you know, you would think that his focus would be on, you know, some of the destructive behavior, but that's not phasing him. He's angry about why we are in this space, why people are protesting. He's angry about the why. And if you have that much sensibility as a 12-year-old to understand, not to be distracted, you know, by what's physically going on, but to understand the foundation of the problem. That didn't come from me. He's got it. He's got that ability to do so. And I wish some of our adults would be adult enough to do so. But it's heartbreaking for me. So I won't, you know, use up too much of my time and my emotion. I want to hear from you all. So, you know, what's on your minds?
I mean, I'm all over the place, you know, as a parent, I'm kind of, I feel you on that, you know. It's sad that this is going to be my children's history, you know. But at the same time, you know, I was talking to my dad a little bit earlier today. That's who was just calling me back. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Because he told me he had to go pee, so he said, I'll call you back.
Okay.
So, but I told him I'd call him back. But yeah, we were talking, and what I realized is that to hear my daddy say he tired and he 60, you know, I'm like, you know what? I don't have no right, I feel, to be tired. I'm going to be 28 next week. Mm-hmm. I'm still a baby. So we haven't really begun in our generation to have to really fight yet. You know what I mean? This is just the beginning. So I'm not going to say I'm tired of it, because I haven't lived yet. I haven't had to live through it and fight it, but it is it's scary for me, because, you know, I have a child already, then I have one on the way. And I don't know, you know, when you think about, okay, well, am I going to have a little girl? Am I going to have a little boy? It don't really fucking matter, because either way, both of them going to be hated. But to know that, you know, if I have a little boy, he going to be fucking hunted. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit really bothers you. Mm-hmm. But I won't say I'm tired. I will say I am ready to fight. And I do feel like, you know, it's time for us to come up with some real solutions and fucking stick to them as a community. You know, I don't personally feel like racist or just white people in general, even the quote unquote good white people, owe me shit. You know, don't nobody owe me shit but me. You know what I'm saying? Don't nobody owe me shit but my people and my community. You know, I feel like we have to start focusing on us and be like, fuck them. You know, the only thing they really got to do for me is leave me the fuck alone. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't expect them to relinquish, you know, their power, their control, you know, all of the injustices and all of the things that they hold in the palm of their hands. I don't expect them to give me that. You know, I can't expect them to give that up. So I think when we kind of, when we beg them or we try to depend on them to change, I feel like this is why we constantly have this shit happening. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it gotta come to a point where we just bust down the fucking door. Like, we gonna have people, you know, I know when we heard like Phil and Mike and all them talking about, well, you gotta go to the polls, you gotta do this, that. But if there's no one that I'm voting for that looks like me or has my interest, I can't depend on that. Mm-hmm. You know, I need someone, I need our sons, I need our daughters, I need our cousins, our aunties, our whoever to be candidates. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We need people that's gonna take a stand. We need people like me who's gonna go to law school. Maybe I'll be a fucking prosecutor. So that way I have all of the power. You know, I have all of the cards.
Yeah.
But the thing about that too is when we do get people in those powerful positions that look like us, we can't shit on them. We can't say, oh, just because you're going to go off and be a police officer or a prosecutor, now I can't fuck with you. Now you done sold out. Those are the types of things that I want to discuss. Like, how the fuck do we focus on us? Because they don't give a fuck about us. And they shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, they shouldn't. They don't owe us that. So that's just my initial first takes on how I've been feeling and some things that I've been thinking about through the whole, all of this shit from the last few weeks.
Yeah, I can dig that. And I can also understand, like, I'm having a bipolar monsoon of emotions. I'm all over the place. I can understand where these folks is coming from. I can understand where these folks is coming from. You know, it's a percentage of me that's like, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? It's another part of me that's just like, you can't ask or require civility from people who have no civil foundation.
Right. I told
you. We're dealing with
on the podcast.
Yeah.
We're working with people that lack basic fucking human emotion.
Yes, they do.
We're dealing with historical
predators
and psychopaths.
Yes.
Like, look at the history.
Yes.
So why the fuck would I then sit there and bang down your door and beg you to let me the fuck in?
Yeah.
So what is it that the protest did? What are they trying to accomplish?
Well, this is here's the thing about that. I don't think that they're actually looking to accomplish change overnight. But what they're not gonna do is sit at home and be still and be quiet, because that's obviously the alternative. If you're asking for what is it that they're trying to actually accomplish, they can't accomplish anything until they get that shit up out of their system. Yeah. They get in somebody's face and let them know how they feel. They gather up amongst each other and have those conversations about what the next step is. You can't do that being contained and being civil. And another thing about that too is, you know, we have to look at who we're talking about. We're talking about the people who are legitimately out there, I would say, because there are some folks that's out there on some bullshit. Let's just be honest. But there are some legitimate people who are out there crying out, who are in pain, who are traumatized, who suffer from PTSD, who have mental health issues that don't get addressed, who don't have parents at home to give them that solidarity of care. So you have to have all of those initial comforts from your home and from your environment and from your people around you in order to understand what civility looks like. And then when you don't have that, then you got to go out here and you got to play dodgeball, because you don't know if you're going to get pulled over. You don't know if you're going to get beat up for jaywalking. You don't know if you're going to be laying in your bed and roll over and your girlfriend is full of bullets because they knocked on the wrong door. So you can't ask. I think that's a mistake to ask for civility of certain amount of people who are dealing with this trauma in a way that they've never been able to deal with it before. You know, it's on social media now, but you know, how many of us can sit here and say they've actually witnessed somebody's brains on the street? I can. I've seen it in front of my apartment.
you know, not by cops, but
I'm just saying, you know, death isn't normal. We shouldn't have to normalize it. Look at our Vietnam vets. Some of them came back and they never been right because they've witnessed such tumultuous violence.
Yeah. That was a big ass word.
Well, I mean, it's real. It's real. You know what I'm saying? That's a part of our DNA, is the traumatic experiences that we've endured over time, whether it's against one another or whether it's being inflicted. So it's like you saying, put a time bomb in a box, seal it up, wrap it up real pretty and with ribbons and bows, and expect it to not blow up. I think that's a cavalier ask. At some point, that bomb is going to blow up and it's not going to be pretty. And the sad part is you're going to have some collateral.
Yeah. Like, we got the young people that's younger than me and Lee. I mean, our generation pretty much ain't give a shit. But them motherfuckers that's younger than us, they damn sure.
They have no fear. They have no fear.
Fucking risk it all. So then you have the, you know, me and Lee age and look probably about to your age flow that, you know, we'll knock if you buck, but we also can, are, you know, we think we have intellect and
some of us.
We don't want to pull it back.
Some of us. Because I know folks my age is still ain't got them all.
That's why I say we kind of, we in the in-between group, the 30 to 40 to almost 50 range, we in between, you know what I'm saying? We not as reckless as the younger people. But, you know, you can't expect us to all be the same kind of black. But I do think that we do have to get on some general kind of consensus on, like, what would be best for us. You know,
yeah.
All while working within the, you know, that we all have different experience, different environments, and different mindsets about, you know, what's feasible to our community.
Yeah.
Well, I have a story. So, I went to college and I took this class. It was called race relations class, right? And the whole premise of the class was that there was really no such thing as race.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we as a society decide what race is. It was like an Asian man who was like, no, I'm white, because he wanted the white benefits. You know what I'm saying? So we actually decide what race is. And I was like, damn, I just spent $800 to talk about people being mean to other people and stuff. But it was like, really, the moral that I came up with was that the law is racist. It doesn't matter if individuals, motherfucker, next door is racist. If the law that can put you in prison or sentence you to death is racist, we got a fucking problem.
Yeah.
I remember leaving that class crying, because it's like, what the fuck do we do?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? What do you do when the law is against you?
And that's how these young kids are feeling right now. What the fuck are we supposed to do? Now, see, we are on the eve right now of George Floyd. Okay, so in the beginning of anything like that, you're gonna have civil unrest for at least a week before people calm down and before they can collect themselves and have that constructive conversation. That should be expected. What bothers me is folks act like they didn't know what to expect. Why didn't you expect it? Come on now, this ain't the first rodeo for this country.
They live in a universe where they feel like they are fucking untouchable. That's why, again.
But who are we talking about? The police white officers? Folk. Just white folks?
And I'm talking about all of them. I'm not speaking just specifically to the racists. Let me get this straight, and I'll say this for me. I think all the motherfuckers have a tad bit of racism in it, and I'm going to tell you why. Because on any given Sunday, them motherfuckers know that they're privileged and they know when the fuck to use it. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck what you say. Even the good ones know they're privileged and they know when to use it. And at any given fucking moment, they will turn their backs on your black ass. So do not get it twisted, because you got
everything.
Your white housing and your white friends and your white neighbors.
They don't give a shit.
And y'all ha ha. And they might be on the front lines for you now, but I'm telling you, they have the ability, they have options.
Yes, they do.
We don't have those types of things. They can go out there and protest and be on the front lines and, you know, jump ship at any time if that's what the fuck they want to do.
Hell, they can go off and snap off at the police and not be reprimanded.
If that got too hot for me, I can jump the fuck back and be white and be in my privilege.
Right. That's right.
So.
That's right. Keep it all the way 1,000.
That's just my opinion. That's just what I've seen. You know.
That's so real.
That's what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm talking about all of you. Yeah. That's what I'm not worried about having a discussion about them. I'm worried about having a discussion and finding real solutions for us. Because I don't think it's nothing that now one of them can do for me.
And I'm also talking not only to them, but I'm also talking to those of us who don't realize that shit. How do you not realize that that's what it is? Okay? It's like, you know, we in a lion's den with pork chop sweaters on. It's real. I'm keeping it 100. You know what I'm saying? Because and considering the fact that this is nothing new under the sun, why are y'all asking us to figure it out? Where the fuck y'all been at? We inherited this bullshit. Okay? Y'all done marched. Y'all done held hands. Y'all done prayed. Y'all done been peaceful. Y'all done turned the other cheeks. Y'all done killed our leaders. Y'all ostracized them. Some of them can't even come back into to the country. Some of them are political prisoners and dying in prison. Rest in peace to Geronimo Pratt, even though I think he got out. He just passed away. But you don't even hear these names no more. Where they at? You know, so now you want us to pick up the baton that's been buried in the dirt and in the sand and under the church. Let's keep it all the way 100, because when all of them died, black folks ran to the church. And instead of putting their money into organizing and putting their money into campaigning to put us in office and having our backs and things like that, they gave their money to the church. That's the real freaking history. Now, I ain't mad at the church. I ain't, you know, trying to be blasphemous or nothing. I respect my elders and how they choose to believe and whatever else. But now y'all looking at us like we crazy. That's why I'm angry. We're not crazy. We are actually expressing all that you've asked us to suppress. Because you don't want us to not be civilized. Well, we can't be civilized when we have no civility. We haven't been given the opportunity to understand what that means and to have it and to see it and to have the privilege. Just like you said, we don't have those kind of privileges. So when you see buildings on fire, unfortunately, I hate it for the small business owner that worked hard and tried to establish themselves, especially this black small business owner. And I hate that we do have some folks that are infiltrating our protests and allowing us to take the fall for their bad behavior. However, there are people out there who are legitimately in pain, who are legitimately expressing themselves by picking up a brick and throwing that shit because they're hurting. I refuse to point my finger at them and judge them because we're not out there collectively surrounding that person and getting them that mental health that they've been needing. Let's talk about before they went out there and protest how they've been fucked up mentally, emotionally, traumatized, PTSD, raped, molested. Come on.
You say I'm not crazy. Well, the fuck, I am crazy. And I am a fucking angry black woman. But I feel like I goddamn deserve to be.
I mean, come on. But that ain't crazy, though. That's not their definition of crazy. You know what I'm saying? What we crazy about right now is the fact that we don't have the tolerance for this bullshit no more. I don't. I'm sick of it.
We never did, though. Okay, so that brings me to, because I wrote down, like, 3 points. This is one thing, too, I wanted to address, you know, with our generation and, you know, people. If I hear these motherfuckers out here talking about some, we are not our ancestors. One more goddamn time.
Oh, my God. Please. Not
for the door. When you open the door, I'm going to personally slap the shit out of you. Because it suggests that our ancestors weren't resistant. Like, if our ancestors didn't fight that, we wouldn't be able to sit where the fuck we sitting today.
Absolutely.
Let's not forget, there has been progress. We still have a long way to go, but we have to study our ancestors. Don't shit on the ancestors like they just didn't do shit.
That's right.
Like, you forgot. The only way you would say that is if you don't know who the fuck you are and where the fuck you came
from. That's right.
How do you even think we got here?
That's right.
Because of our ancestors.
That's right. And those are the leaders that have been lost and their legacies have been silenced. you know, you don't have those conversations in our communities about some of those people to where we can actually teach our youth who these people are. And that's where we come in. It's our responsibility to now, like, teach my son and my daughter, you know, who they are and where they come from.
Do you see the, hold on, I don't want to interrupt the conversation. Do you see the time on here? It only allows us to go 40 minutes. So when we get to maybe like 2, let's just hang up and call each other back. And
Okay.
So that way it won't just cut off. Sorry about that.
That's all right. I'm going to play another quick clip too, that I think is just, you know, profound, because there are so many voices because of everything that's been going on. And let's also be clear. I heard somebody saying, I think it was Whoopi Goldberg. She's, you know, totally against looting and rioting. She always has been. That's just her stance. But she's saying, did we ask Floyd, George Floyd's family, what they need? But it's not just him. You know, George Floyd was the straw that broke the camel's back. That pushed us over the edge. And, you know, of course we are concerned for his family. Of course we're concerned about, you know, what they may need. But it's not just about him. And I think people are also getting lost in thinking that we're only out there because of that. No, we're out there because there has been too many and a short amount of time. I mean, dang, we can't even go to sleep and wake up the next morning without something else happening. And I was just telling my mother, because, you know, social media and the media, the news outlets, they're so focused on the protests that they ain't even paying attention to this another person that done got killed by the police that ended up on my timeline the other day.
Because they really don't give a fuck.
But my thing is, do y'all not realize people are killed by the police every single day?
Every day.
Every single day.
Every day.
Whether it's on TV or not. So this shit can't just be, okay, what I wanted to come on here and say is everybody got to have their roles. Everybody got to figure out where they come in, whether you a journalist, whether you, you know, got a podcast, whether funding it behind the scenes, whether you on the front line, everybody got to be involved in this situation, because this shit is not going to go away because coronavirus came back this month or Beyonce dropped a new song today. Like, we got to stay on this track.
That's
until
real.
Shit is differently. Until people don't feel police don't feel comfortable just fucking being crazy out here and killing people just because they don't feel like nothing's going to get happen to them. And fuck the police, anybody. Nobody should be able to just kill somebody and it just be cool. You know what I'm saying?
Real shit.
So real shit. We all got to do our part. Figure out what your part is and do it.
Yeah,
I want to talk about that too. Like when we like call back, because you mentioned this is probably your second time mentioning like the legality of the whole situation, and I'm not an expert on it yet, but that's something I'm very interested in, and I do feel like we do have to talk about those solutions in terms of the law. You know,
absolutely,
what I mean?
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought up the coronavirus, because my cousin brought up a valid point earlier today. I'm going to touch on that here in a second, but let me go ahead and play this clip real quick. And you guys have probably seen it, but I just think it's profound.
It ain't me. It's not me. I'm going to let y'all know that now. It's not us guys neither. And I'm glad that y'all said that. It's not us. It's the police. It's the madness that they spark up. This is what they encourage. This is what they provoke. This is what you get out of you taking some a loved one from someone. This is what you get. You get a lot of people that's hurt, and they can't vent the right way. They can no longer depend on the police to be here to protect us like they say they gonna do. So this is what you get. And no, it's not gonna end today. I can't tell you it's gonna end tomorrow. I don't know when it's gonna end. But it's for y'all to start. We not the ones that's killing us. Y'all killing us. We can't make a change if y'all don't change.
And so this young man here, I'm not sure if this is the Minnesota situation or if it's an older clip of this young man, but this kid, he can't be no more than maybe about, I'm going to give him 16. He looked 14, but he's so intelligent, you know, in his even in his emotion. He's so intelligent and so transparent. That's the example of the pain that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, just the nonchalant attitudes of people who, you know, are just marching to march, because they out there too, you know. But like you said, y'all killing our loved ones. I mean, that's real. You know, we don't know what he's been through up to this point. You know, we don't know who he may have just lost, because, you know, like you said, police is killing people every single day. So I just think we need to think as a collective and look at everything all the way around the board. You know, don't just stand on a soapbox and point fingers and be judgmental. We don't need that shit right now. You know, but I do agree that at some point,
black people.
Exactly. And that's who we getting it from the most. And that makes me so angry, because y'all don't have blinders on, you know. Right, yeah. The end result sucks. I get it. You don't want to see destruction, but we don't want to see another dead body. Huh?
You know, they love now. You can't get a nigga not to love their master.
You know, I'm just confused by how they appreciate the structure of a building more, it seems, than they care about another dead body right in front of us. I mean, and I don't know that they don't care. I'm just saying, it just seems like, I don't want to hear y'all bitching and moaning and complaining about people looting. Fuck that shit, man. I don't like it. I wouldn't do it myself. But I'm not out there. I'm not in, you know, that ain't my pain per se. I'm in pain because I don't like none of this shit overall. But like that young man is saying, y'all killing our loved ones. I don't know what that baby been through, you know, and who's around him to support him. So we got to do better about that.
So that video sparked. So, I mean,
come on.
It ain't like they just went out to do the shit just because.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? Exactly, so, but
the point to stop, and then we'll.
Yeah, we had 2 minutes and 30 seconds now, y'all.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and stop it, and then we'll come. Like, I'll call y'all back.
Okay. We're gonna pay some bills.
Okay. Yes, we gonna pay some bills, and we gonna be right back on the Flow Experience. Y'all, hang tight.
All
right. Okay. Do I have to get out? She left.
She left?
She's out of here. It's just you and I, babe. So we probably should leave.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, Flow Experience audience. We're taking a pause for the calls because I know Anchor gives us an hour. Zoom only gives us so many minutes. And as you can hear, we're currently just speaking our minds and our truth and from our heart. Like I said, I have a bipolar amount of emotion right now. And again, let me just reiterate, you know, I do have a heartfelt compassion for our small black business owners that have been caught up in the wrath of the destruction of the riots and the looters. A lot of that was not infiltrated by our constructive protest group. And they may have had some of us in our mix that may have began to loot or be destructive, but it wasn't all of us. And it, you know, a lot of people that are here in Atlanta doing all of that, our mayor, Keisha Lance Bottoms, reported that 50% of the people who were arrested aren't even from here in Atlanta. So there's also, you know, infiltrators that are trying to, and instigators who are trying to use our pain and use our focus and our pain, like I said, to pretty much spin the narrative, and they have their own agenda. So I do understand that, and I speak out for that also. So I don't want anybody that'll hear this to think that I'm not compassionate, but I'm also not going to stand on a soapbox in a corner and wag my finger at the young people who are out here expressing themselves the best way that they can. You know, if we are a community, then we need to be a community for them as well. Some of us are out there just standing by watching a lot of crap happen when we need to be able to have the courage to intervene. And that's a tall ask, but it shouldn't be, because we've lost our community. We've lost our village. And that's another reason why the behavior is out of control. But in this case, you know, it is what it is. Things are going to be what they are. So I just got the Zoom link and invitation to join Free Spirit and Lee back on Zoom. So we're gonna have at it here in just a moment. So thank you all for being patient. I do appreciate it. And we love you guys. I'm logging into the Zoom now. And let me know what you all think. You know, are you, if you want to share your thoughts, please do. And hold on, the password isn't working. Let me get the password from her. Hold on. And my niece, I'm going to shout her out too. You'll hear, I'm going to go to her page to see if she's live. And I'll talk more to the ladies when we get back on here. She is in my hometown in Indianapolis. And they are down in Indianapolis on the Circle. Hold on. And I'm going to go to her Instagram page just to see, you know, how that's working out and what's going on. Give me just a second, y'all. There's so much going on, and I know everybody is feeling crazy. Well, I guess I can y'all hear me? I guess I'll switch to my phone now, because I was on my computer at first, but I switched to my phone.
Well, I had to record this one because you can't record Zoom to your phone either. That's why I was saying you don't need the laptop. So I'm going to have to see how I can send you part two. Hopefully my computer will let me send it to you.
Okay, no problem. That's cool.
We're going to pray on it. Okay. Yeah, let me know when y'all ready.
All right. Okay. Go ahead whenever you're ready, babe. I'm ready.
Okay. We're back.
All right. We are back with the Cunt Code and the Flow Experience. I'm your girl, Flo. We had to, you know, step away and pay a few bills, you know what I'm saying, and get ourselves in order. And I'm here chilling with my homegirl, Freestyle, or Free Spirit, and my homegirl, Lee. We are currently just talking about, you know, the George Floyd protests and just the overall madness of these murderers that are lurking our streets that are covered in, they ain't even wolves in sheep's clothing anymore. They're just wolves in their own blue fur with their shiny badges or whatever. It's a mess. So we left off just basically expressing ourselves about, you know, how we feel like we need to be more supportive of each other. We need to stop finding criticism in other people's pains. And while we were on a break, I did let my audience know that it has been brought forth that a lot of the destructive behavior is coming directly from infiltrators and instigators who are using our pain and our moment to scream out and to shout out our expressions and our feelings about this and to protest. They're using that opportunity for their own narrative. They're using that for their own agenda. Even the Minnesota authorities recognize that a lot of the citizens of Minnesota, they weren't the real protesters and the real citizens of Minnesota, they weren't the majority of the people who were causing a lot of the damages. Keisha Lance Bottoms also spoke out and said that 50% of the people that she arrested aren't even from here in Atlanta. So you have people with their own agenda and people that are thrown into these situations by our government and also by, our counterparts to spin the narrative to make us look a certain way. You know, the optic is very persuasive. So rather than seeing us as intelligent and out here, expressing ourselves and protesting and, still standing up and not taking no shit because we ain't got to. But at the same time, you using this opportunity to make it what it's not. You know, and a lot of our leaders that are on the front line that are facing this backlash, it's not fair to them. You know what I'm saying? Because they ain't out there for no bullshit. You know, so we have to be, careful with our own before we start placing blame and using our platforms to criticize people because we don't know the full story behind a lot of it. So.
Now, I do want to comment on that because y'all know I'm someone who likes to debate, argue, and just talk shit. So I don't necessarily believe that we should withhold criticism. I do think, if you feel a certain type of way, then, you speak that. I just feel like it needs to be, in this moment, a little bit more gentle. And that's coming from someone who's never gentle. So if I can be gentle, I feel like we can all be gentle to each other, like I say, I don't agree with, the looting and the, and I'm not a protester, I'm not a marcher, I'm not that type of person, but, I understand that people are hurting and that's the only way they know how right now, you know what I mean? So I don't have to like bash them, but I can still criticize them and let them know that in the long run, it's not gonna pretty much change any fucking thing. You know, in my opinion, I don't see that it's going to actually benefit our community. If that's what they are thinking that it's going to do by reacting, you know what I'm saying? I feel like there's other ways for us to react and actually get tangible results. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
Also, go ahead. I wanted to ask Flo something when you were done.
No, go ahead.
I was going to ask, because Flo, you were alive during the L.A. riots. We probably were too, but maybe not to the same conscious stuff, right?
Which one? Which one? L.A. been on fire a lot. Yeah, I watched it on TV. I watched him get beat to death, damn near to death, on television. Yeah.
Okay, and so this is kind of similar, right? A similar situation. What do you feel like was the result of that?
Well, to be honest with you, we're still living in the days of Rodney King. So whether you're peaceful, whether you're violent, somebody posted a photo of Martin Luther King at one half of the photo and Malcolm X on the other half of the photo, both lying in their caskets. And it said one was violent, one was nonviolent, and here's the end result. So people want results that they can count on. There are tangible ways and there are ways that, we could be more proactive instead of reactive. But when you've seen that time and time again, protest in and of itself and standing up and getting in the legislators' faces and, voicing your opinion, that has been effective. I'm not just, saying that it hasn't, but at the same time, we're again knocking on the door of the people that established these laws and this constitution, begging to let us in.
Exactly.
So even though we have those rights and we can appreciate them because we did fight for them, why aren't we fighting for our own? And so when you have all of this unrest and these unsettled emotions that are being displayed in an instant, you have to understand that those emotions didn't show up in an instant. They've been there. So I don't think that people are actually being I don't think that people are actually concerned with what that's going to get them. They just don't give a fuck at a certain point. And that's what's sad, because they're pushed to the point where they don't care. Like, we can all sit here and think civilly and think, well, that's not going to change anything. They don't give a fuck. They just want you to understand that you take one of mine, I'm going to take 10 of yours. That's the attitude. Eye for an eye. And we didn't actually come up with that. We inherited that attitude. You're concerned with how we're looting. They looted our country when they first got here. They're the looters. Exactly. They've been looting into our communities and looting into our lives and looting into our cultures since the beginning of time. So we learned those behaviors from the people that taught us how to react. I mean, you got to realize that, you know, their slavery and slave mentality and the enslavers pretty much raised the people that raised us. So we've all inherited, you know, shit rolls downhill. We've picked up and we've carried on with what we know how to do based on what they've shown us, which was all in the plan anyway. But it's too late for that. We all have to get to a point where now we know we got to get better. So let's just do better. To hell with whether or not, you know, we agree with what's going on now. You're going to get that regardless, because, again, you're asking a time bomb to sit in a box taped up with a pretty ribbon and a pretty bow on it and be civilized. That's not going to happen. So we have to get in front of that.
For y'all, too. Like, so what do y'all think, since we are able to be rational still, surprisingly, in this moment, what are your top three solutions for our community? Like, tangible things that we can do within our own community that don't have shit to do with white folks giving us nothing, you know what I'm saying, to help propel us to the next level, if anything?
Our finances. We can start with how we spend our money. That should be first.
Amen.
You know, that should be first. And we may not, and it's another thing. We ain't going to be able to save everybody, y'all. Let's be honest about it. We're not going to be able to bring everybody along on this, on the night shift.
You niggas love your mouth.
You know, and not just them, but it's niggas that, you know, just don't have the capacity to give a damn anymore. They don't care. You know, that foundation starts at home. So that's the number one thing, the finances. Number two, you know, for those of us that are parents, and even if you just have connections with a young person, each one teach one. You know, we are all responsible for ourselves. I said it earlier. We've lost sense of community. We no longer have a village. You know, where are people at? And I told my mother earlier, it's like a wave. If you think about, like, after we came out of the Great Depression, how Black folks started to thrive, how, you know, we ended up having our own Black Wall Street, and then they burnt that down. And then we went down into the Jim Crow. And then, you know, we ended up, you know, fighting and scratching and screaming and rioting and protesting then. Then all of that died down. Then we leveled off into the 70s and 80s. Well, drugs hit us. You know, now our parents is partying. Ain't nobody fighting no more. Ain't nobody protesting. Ain't nobody organizing no more. Ain't nobody talking about, you know, how we spending our money. I didn't know nothing about having no credit. That wasn't a conversation when I was coming up. I didn't know what the fuck that was. I didn't know nothing about the stock market other than the fact in the era of Reagan, we had a stock market crash. And that's because my grandmother watched it on the news. But you see what I'm saying? So those conversations, basically, we weren't having those. But now, We're coming up out of that a little bit. And so we can start having those conversations now and getting back on track with our finances. I think that's number one.
Why we talking about money? Have y'all ever seen The Banker? That movie, The Banker?
I've heard about it.
Did
you watch it?
I haven't,
Y'all need to watch that movie. I ain't even going to tell y'all. Watch that movie. Everybody needs to watch that movie. And I think, you know, some of the strategy. Well, first of all, this motherfucker was brilliant. Like, he was a genius, like a mathematical genius. So I don't know if I'm on that level. That might be more Lee shit. You know, she might end up owning the bank. I don't fucking know. But just the way that he finagled and finessed it, man, you talking about pissing some white folk off.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. You know, like Farrakhan said a long time ago, you know, y'all hollering, y'all want to be able to go into the restaurants and drink from the water fountains. Well, hell, if they don't want you there, why you want to be there? Why you want to be where they don't want you, where they don't want you to be at?
My two cents in, too, about solutions before we move on to the next topic. But I think about finances, like Flo said, but for me, it's like, ownership, you know what I'm saying? Real estate. Own your block, own your hood.
Yes.
That's number one. And in that class, I was talking about the race relations. One quote was, you cannot rebuild the master's homes with the master's tools. You was in that class, Flo? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. We were in a class together.
We both be on the same shit.
Yes. Was that Dr. Chow's class?
The Asian chick?
Dr. Chow, yep.
Then I left her class still thinking, oh, the Asian, like I ain't learned shit from that class. But yeah, real estate, owning your hood. I think with the Black Wall Street, where they fucked up is they ain't have their own military line.
That's right.
Like,
we need our own military.
We got our Bloods and our Crips, if they listening, they was not supposed to be fighting each other.
No.
They were supposed to be fighting the police, honestly. Right. Protecting their community. So we start thinking like in that term, like I know everybody like, oh, you need to get you a gun, you need to do this. But if y'all really start strategizing that, like for real, arms training, understanding gun safety, just understanding how to protect yourself.
Exactly.
Understanding your rights. As free, you know, you are in the legal understanding those things.
Mm-hmm.
And don't just be like, I'm bored, so let me try to know my rights. No, you have to pursue this shit.
Yes, you do.
If you don't, it will be used against you in the court of law. Okay? So we got to understand, like, protecting ourselves for our finances, protecting ourselves physically, and protecting ourselves mentally. That's how we need to get.
Well, goddamn it, y'all thumbed the shit up for me, because those have been my same three solutions I've been posting about, you know, hitting where it hurt. The financial shit, like I've been seeing this post going around on someday in July, they want us
blackout.
A dollar. But my thing is, let's spend the fucking dollars, but let's spend it with us.
But that's the point. Like, it don't go, like, don't spend it with them. You know what I'm saying? Spend it with us. That's the point of the blackout. Hell yeah. I'm with that shit.
Can y'all repeat that if nobody is?
Let me reread it, because from what I was reading, it didn't seem like it was saying spend it with your community. It seemed like it was saying just don't spend anything. Just, you know, for a day. So maybe that needs to be, because I'm very, you know, whatever is on the page is what I know.
I
don't read between lines. I just read the black and white. So, and I think I'm a pretty good reader. So unless I made a mistake, which I sometimes do, that's the post that I saw was saying just don't spend anything. But I think it should have been revised to say, let's spend our money, but not even just on this day, like, from fucking today.
Yeah.
Period. And of course, we know, you know, we are not privileged enough to live in a society where, you know, we're going to be able to get everything we need right now from the black-owned businesses. You know, we still have a ways to go with it. Like, you know, we know in order to keep our lights on, we're going to have to pay Georgia Power. And we know that's not possible. You know, so just in the best ways that we can spend our dollars amongst each other to keep what is called group economics. That's what I say. I also was gonna say the armed militia. Period. What I didn't think about was that we already had one. So that's where your genius, because I didn't realize, you know, the Bloods and Crips and shit. That's pretty much already the armed militia.
Mm-hmm.
If they, you know, take the time to see the opportunity there. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
Education, definitely. Whatever that means to you. It don't mean you gotta go to law school. It don't mean, you know, you gotta be traditional.
educationally smart, but just having basic common sense and basic knowledge, I think, goes a long way. And want and the thirst to learn more, and the thirst to fucking listen. Like I say, I think critique amongst each other, that's cool. You know, black people, we feel like because we black, we gotta be fucking in a utopia. That's not gonna happen. We gonna have conflict. We gonna have disagreements. Niggas gonna get shot. Niggas gonna get fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Because we human. And anytime you're around humans, it's some shit that's gonna pop off and it's gonna be some shit you don't like. So I don't like all this, you know, because I'm black, I can't criticize you. As long as I'm doing it with love and with respect, I don't think there's anything wrong with me having an opinion because I come from a different background. And I may be able to see your point. You may be able to see my point or not, but we've had the conversation and I don't think it's nothing wrong with it. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So yeah, those are actually my solutions. And to your point with this lawsuit, again, I wanted to revisit this once I'm actually in school and kind of am like learning a little bit more. But what I think we definitely have to do right away is we need to define the fucking terms. Like, if you say, well, excessive force or reasonable force, what the fuck does that mean? Like, we need bullet points, bitch. Like, okay, if you lay your knee on a nigga neck for 8 fucking minutes, your ass going to jail. That's excessive force. You know what I'm saying? They use all of these fucking terms that you know, it's left up to the interpretation of people that generally don't look like me or you. They do that shit on purpose. You know, they make those loosey-goosey-ass laws so where it can affect you how they want it to affect you, but not affect them how mm-hmm. they don't want it to affect
you. Right, like,
so we revisit these fucking laws, and I need them to put some actual, actionable, tangible words in that motherfucker so we know exactly what the fuck that means. We don't need to leave shit up to the interpretation or shit up to the fucking imagination, because obviously the people in charge, their interpretations and imaginations do not suit our fucking needs. You know what I'm saying? And our shit, like, it should be no reason why it took these niggas days to lock this one cop up, but my brother's been sitting in prison for now going on probably about 11, 12 years since we've been fucking 18, and then supposed to be in the 12 more. Mm. And they won't let his ass out even with the corona. And he ain't killed not a motherfucking body. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, that shit don't make no fucking sense. And this is his first goddamn time being in trouble. And they sent his ass all the way fucking down the road. And we was kids. Again, we was 18.
You know, I think we need to also revisit the Constitution. We're the only country that still has a 400-500-year-old Constitution. Why? Wow.
We got to define this shit. We got to we need to just rip that motherfucker.
Redo it. We need a new one. Fuck that.
And we need some bullet points. We need, like, looking at what they talk about precedent and law. Look at the shit that done happened. Still use that, but be like, okay, well, you know, if you're a cop, if you do X, Y, and Z, anything that I did to kill motherfuckers, put that shit as excessive force. And then put the one that's reasonable force. You know what I'm saying? If you gotta put somebody down and you know, if that's how you know, subdue them, if you have to put your foot on their neck for 30 seconds, okay, as long as that's not gonna cut off their airway and they ain't screaming for their fucking mama, then let's go. But goddamn, if you on your body cam and they see this motherfucker is screaming and hollering, saying I can't breathe, and you know, call my mama, then you need to get the fuck up off their neck.
Whose mother, by the way, has already passed away? He was calling for his mom and she's already gone.
That's sad. That's fucking sad. So that's my biggest thing. Like, that's, I joke, well, I'm not really joking. I really don't be joking, but I do joke with me all the time. Like, you know, I fear for the people that I'm going to meet in the near future. You know, from going to law school, from being in that field, because who they're about to meet, they're not
none alike. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's so okay.
And I said, you know, just get ready, because I know they try to come for your family. They try to come for your finances. I said, baby, we got to put some money back, because they might try to lock my ass up. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. You know, I'm ready for the fight and for the battle, because I understand that, you know, they're going to fucking hate me. We was talking about, too, I think a little bit on our podcast that's coming out tomorrow. Like, you know, we have to teach our children. Our little boys, you know, we tell our little girls a lot, you know, y'all not objects. You can be anything you want to be. You're more than just a pretty face, your this, your that. I believe we kind of got into that, you know, space, well, at least in my family, where you kind of hear that a lot with girls. But, you know, it's like with the boys, it's like, oh, when you going to be on the basketball team? When you going to be on the football team? You know, you can do more than fuck rap and goddamn dribble the ball.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? We need to have our boys in the books. You know, we need scientists. We need motherfuckers that not just doctors and lawyers. We got to think bigger than that. We need tech people. You know, this world is going into a whole nother technological space that I ain't even goddamn understanding. We need people like that. We need people in goddamn fucking space. You know what I'm saying? We need all kinds of, at this point, I feel like the lawyer and the doctor, the bar is low. Like, that should be just like you graduating from high school. That's what you should be. Okay, now where do we go from here? We need to start thinking bigger and, you know, ahead of our time. We need people like Lee. We need investors. We need people who understand the stock market and fucking finances and shit that we don't understand. Credit. You know, we need financial advice.
And that starts in our schools.
Nope. I'm going to stop you there. I'm going to stop you right there. Let me tell you, the way our schools are designed is exactly the blueprint for, especially public schools, in some instances, more often than not. They are designed to be the pipeline from school to prison, especially for our kids.
So we need different schools then. We need private schools.
We need our own schools. You can homeschool your kids yourself. Yep. You know what I'm saying? We gotta take control of our own destiny. And that means starting right up under your roof. You know what I'm saying? And everything that you're saying that we need to have in our families, like, you know, the tech people, the scientists, and you know, we got all of that information at the palm of our hands. We can bring all of that information right into, and when I'm gonna tell you, when I homeschooled my kids just for the summer, it wasn't like a anything that I was trying to do, you know, for them to be in an accredited, like passing grade. I was just schooling them. We talked about astronomy. We talked about programming. We talked about physics. You know, we talked about a lot of stuff. And I found it right on Khan Academy, which is an online. I mean, come on, they got every single grade level and every single subject matter. So we need to enrich our kids right here at home.
If you have this, you have the world in the palm of your hands. There is no fucking excuse anymore. You know, I understand we all still come from, you know, different socioeconomical backgrounds and things like that. But nigga, if you live on Bankhead and you got this, you should be a fucking genius. I don't want to hear the fucking excuses. That's just me. You should not have no fucking thousands of dollars iPhone and be a dumbass.
That's right.
And be doing nothing but dribbling the fuck. Now, if you want to dribble your ball, dribble your ball, but still have something in your mind and in your head that changed the fucking world.
Yeah.
So I also want to make a recommendation for everybody who likes to read. Read Powernomics by Claude Anderson. It goes into a lot of the strategies that we're talking about. And he gives real solutions to this problem, because these problems are not going away if we don't do something about them. So definitely recommend Powernomics.
Yeah.
Reading is fundamental.
Thank Thank you for that. We gotta do all of that. And guess what? You can still get that shit off your phone. I'm pretty sure you get some of
that. Google that shit.
You can get some of stuff off of YouTube. Like, we spend our days looking at World Star and what's the
media
one?
Media Takeout.
Yeah, you and Nick like that. Nick called it his Bible.
The Shade Room. That's another one. But you know what? I was talking to my cousin earlier, and we was talking about how when they first opened up and the Jordans went on sale, how all them niggas was wrapped around the building and shit like that. I said, you know, them brand new Jordans is probably about $200 a piece baseline. If you add up every person in this line with $200 in their pocket, that's 10 acres worth of land right there, 5 acres, 3 acres. You know what I'm saying? But you don't have, you know, and that's another thing, too. We have to make certain that we understand the mentality of people that we are addressing with all of these big, bright-ass ideas. A lot of them ain't gonna get it because they don't want it. That's what I mean by saying everybody can't go. Everybody ain't gonna get on the love ship. Everybody ain't gonna take the train and drive off into to the sunset with us.
We gonna be like Harry to keep that goddamn
shit. We gotta keep it moving. We gotta work with who we got.
Motherfucker, you gonna be on, cause once you get on, ain't no jumping off, nigga.
Yeah, that's so right.
We are our ancestors. We'll be like Harry Tubman on your ass.
That's sure right.
Before you find your ass over here, you want to be on.
And that goes for a lot of these black folks. You know what I'm saying? That's getting in these situations and in these positions of power, and they forgetting who they are. You got to remember who you are. I don't need you if you can't think, you know, remember where you came from. I don't need you.
That's true. But I do think we got to, because sometimes we don't allow them to even have an opportunity. We just kind of look at it based off of what.
Not me, because I'm talking about some of them judges that's sitting on them benches that's been sitting there for 30 years. Nigga, you've had plenty of time. I'm talking about these DAs that's out here that's railroad niggas because they passionate and bitter on their own personal accord. I'm talking about them broads. They out here. You know what I'm saying? We not just gonna brush them off. They all out here. And we got people that really, you know, still are serving up the white agenda. But because they look like us, we supposed to give them a pass, nigga. No.
And I'm like, why the fuck be in this position of power if you're not gonna try to help people that look like you?
Come on, let's kids, think about it.
Siblings, your parents. I don't get it. Is it the money?
And
is
see, for me, I come from a generation of people who, you know, my mama raised me in a neighborhood where we had black police officers, white too. I was raised, don't trust none of them. You know what I'm saying? Because that's where she used to get some of her weed from, first of all. Second of all, I used to watch them rob the dope boys. I used to watch them plant dope on them niggas. We sit right there on the porch on Udell and watch them on Clifton at the dead end, you know, what you call it, him and somebody up, and put dope on them. Black police. I don't need y'all niggas out here.
Don't tell down Atlanta, cause Atlanta is the thunder. My nigga, I done grew up in Atlanta, and I born, raised, been in Atlanta for 28 motherfucking years. Atlanta is not no motherfucking Wakanda. Any issues I done ever had with a motherfucking cop, it's been a black cop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, so them the niggas we don't need that, you know, you can't.
Shit, you know what I'm saying? So it ain't no, like, just like the other night when they pulled them kids out the damn car at Morehouse.
Was that crazy or what? That was crazy. They tased them, maced them. They was just trying to go home.
But let Clifford Harris tell we.
Bruh, stop saying his name like that. That's the
Cause that's the nigga. That's who the fuck said that shit. Clifford Harris. Clifford ain't said that shit.
Hey, Atlanta is one of the birthplace of the civil rights movement. Those are facts. What do you mean?
Those are facts. I mean, I prefer Killer Mike's fact more so than Clifford Harris's fact. You know what I'm saying? But Killer Mike still kept it real. You know what I'm saying? Now I have been fortunate enough to come from a black city and be around black people and take pride in my blackness. Don't get me wrong or don't get it fucked up. I do appreciate Atlanta, and because that's what made me who I am. But I'm not going to sit here and act like it's a fucking utopia. Like Clifford Harris, I'm not going to sit here and act like it's fucking Wakanda, because it is a lot of...
It's definitely not.
That come...
Georgia itself is a red state.
But niggas so quickly forget because they live in Atlanta and they feel like because we're this big.
Got a black mayor.
They feel like it's like some fucking utopia, and it's not. And a lot of times in Atlanta, because all we really see is each other, a lot of the shit that we see and endure comes from each other in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? But I'm smart enough to know that it's because of systemic fucking trauma, abuse, racism. I know that's not really who we are, but you know, I've just gotten older and grown up and know, you know what I'm saying, not to take this shit personally. But nah, Clifford, it's not no motherfucking Wakanda. We still got some work to do, and if some young folks want to burn this bitch down in the meantime, let them burn it down, we'll build it back up.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said. I said the same thing. We're going to build it up. Yeah. If we, you know what? One thing about black people, we are nothing if we're not, but resilient. You know how to bounce back. We got the coldest bounce back game of any culture. We will get back on our feet. I believe that. This is not the end of us.
This man, we got 5 minutes left, y'all.
Okay. Well, I appreciate y'all spending time with me. I'm glad that you all were kind of collaborating our podcast today, The Cunt Code and The Flow Experience. I'm blessed to have a group of people, but just the two of you, to have these open conversations that make sense, that, you know, we can take what we've discussed and move forward collectively. And like you said, we're going to all have our own theories and our own ideas, but we're all making sense right now. And it's necessary for us to be able to, like you said, from here, take the next step. So hopefully in our next conversation, we can actually have our blueprint maybe prepared in a rough draft in some type of way. If we just start with the three of us, we got to get started some kind of way. So I appreciate y'all. Y'all want to shout out where y'all can be located and what y'all got going on.
And follow us at The Cunt Code Podcast. And let's see you. We'll see you and see what with the in front code. And it has the little asterisk or the period for the acronym. So I'm a dumbass, honestly. I don't know how to fucking spell it.
Hardly.
And then follow me at The Real Free Spirit Music. Underscore on IG, and I also have an EP out right now called Granny Panties. These last few days have been so crazy, but I'm hoping that y'all still listening, or that if you haven't heard it, y'all will go listen, because just to lift your spirits just for a minute, that's what I've needed today. I had my old school just because I just was like, bitch, I want to be happy today, okay?
Yeah.
So go listen to Granny Pants, and hopefully it'll make you happy, make you, you know, kind of forget about just for 17 minutes at least what's going on in the world.
And please text cut code, one word, CUNTCODE to 31996 to be subscribed so that you'll be notified when we have new episodes. You can become a patron and make donations, monthly donations to our podcast, The Key Opportunity.
And thank you so much for having us.
Wow, it's no problem.
Thank you for having us. So.
No problem. Listen, okay. I feel like, you know, I'm on y'all show, y'all on mine, like simultaneously.
Hey. We were talking about this behavior today, too.
Yeah. These are the kind of conversations, you know, people need to start having more often. It's sad that we had to have something happen for us to have this on the table, but I doubt that the three of us wouldn't have had this conversation anyway, just knowing our personalities.
Yeah, we've talked about it.
Yeah.
Me and Lee talked about this shit last year, number one, and then we talked about it with you already with Ahmad. And
yeah.
It's like, goddamn. talk about this.
That's what I mean. So I want us to have, like, figure out how we can come together with our own little blueprint. You know, my husband and I, years and years and years ago, when we first got together, we had already decided that he and I were going to design our own city. So when Akon did his thing, I sent him the article about Akon. I'm like, damn, somebody else was in that energy right with us. So it's possible. But I know we're running down on time. I just want to thank y'all for coming. The Flow Experience. Check me on IG, flo.exp. You can also catch some of my merch that I got out there. I got an Etsy store. You can click the link on my Flow Experience IG page. And you can also catch my podcast on all platforms, The Flow Experience.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.